Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Illinois-born, New York-based jazz tenor saxophonist Todd Herbert. We get into his new 2022 CD, May Waltz, and A Great Life Lived in Jazz. Originally from the town of Evanston, Illinois, just north of Chicago, he began playing the saxophone when he was 10. He has been residing in New York City since the 90s. He became a member of Charles Erlin's band, and after an extended stay, he joined Freddie Hubbard's band, with whom he performed for several years. He's also performed numerous times with Jimmy Cobb as a member of the Jimmy Cobb Legacy Band. Over the years, he has performed with notables also, like Louis Hayes, Slide Hampton, Joe Farnsworth, and many others. Dig this story.
Thanks for taking a minute out today. I appreciate it.
Sure. Great. Thank you.
How's New York today?
Oh, it's nice out today. It's nice. It's good.
Good. Before we get into May Waltz, your latest 2022 album, I want to know, how did you survive COVID? You know, the jazz world, like a lot of artists and professional, you know, performing musicians, were kind of turned upside down. So now that the world's opening up, you got a brand new album. If you look in the rearview mirror, how'd you do?
I had to use a lot of my savings. And, you know, it was hard, a lot of isolation. And fortunately, my neighbor is a drummer who I've known for a long time. And we would get together and play duos. And that was about all I could do for a long time. But that kept my chops up. And that was really fortunate. But, yeah, it was tough. I'm glad it's over.
Yeah, I am too. So now that this album's coming out during a time where everything's opening up, live gigs are happening, New York and other cities like Kansas City are waking up, how good does it feel?
Oh, it feels great. It feels like a second coming. it's wonderful to be able to perform again and, you know, just to do normal things, you know, to go out to eat or whatever and go shopping, you know, and it's great. You know, COVID was really tough. So it's great to get out and perform again.
I was thinking about this too. You know, there's almost a psychological part of this where I think to me, it's almost a shock to a certain extent that things are coming back and we're like diving into things that we've always been used to, but it still feels strange. You know, it's like there's going to be, I think, to a good degree, humanity is going to have to go through an adjustment period because it is weird that things that we were restricted from and basically told, do not, whatever you do, do this. And now it's like, yeah, go ahead. It's fine.
Yeah, like going on the subway, even though the subway was always open, I was really afraid to go. Because I was afraid to get COVID, and now I'm trying to adjust to going back on the subway and things of that nature. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's wild. So talk to me a little bit about how you put this album together.
Well, actually, I recorded it before COVID, and I was going to put it out, and then COVID hit, so I waited, so I ended up waiting a while. And then, so fortunately, COVID started to slow down, and I started to get ready to, you know, started going through the process of putting it out. And now it's out, and, you know, if COVID had not hit, it would probably have come out 2 years earlier. So I'm happy to finally get it done and get it out there.
What are you hoping a listener gets from this experience?
Oh, well, I hope they enjoy it. You know, I hope that it brings them pleasure, and, you know, they like the music, and I just hope that they enjoy it.
So you're from Evanston. I've spent some time up there a few years ago. I went up there, and it's a great town. So I'm curious, talk to me a little bit about growing up there. It was so close to Chicago, and how you kind of got the bug for not only music, but jazz.
Okay. Well, yeah, Evanston's great because it is close to Chicago. I could walk. It would take me about, I don't know, 45 minutes to walk to Chicago city limits, so I'm close, very close. But it's beautiful. Northwestern University is right there. So the lake, you know, I'm close, walking very close to the lake. So great place to grow up. And the high school had a great jazz program, and started playing saxophone when I was 10. And then when I got into high school, well, actually junior high had kind of a jazz band as well. So a big band kind of jazz band. And then, so I was in that in junior high, and then went to high school, was in the jazz band in high school. So they had a great music program, you know, music foundation. I had private lessons as well. So I would, you know, after school, once a week, I would go to my private teacher, Vince Johnson, outstanding teacher, and he taught me saxophone. I took saxophone lessons from him for all through junior high school and high school. So that he was a huge help. I mean, he was a big jazz, you know, he was a jazz musician, so he got me into jazz as well. And, you know, very young age that, you know, so I was very fortunate to be exposed to jazz, at a very young age. He exposed me to all the greats. You know, he had a huge record collection. You know, after the lesson, he would play a record of, you know, maybe Charlie Parker, John Coltrane, you name it, Sonny Stitt, Gene Ammons. I'd go on to Dexter Gordon. So I got exposure to all the great jazz musicians at a very young age. So I was very fortunate to be exposed to jazz very young.
And you were around some heavy cats for a while, like, you know, Charles Dearlin and Freddie Hubbard. And I'm curious, what did they teach you that's resonated with you throughout all these years?
Well, a lot of osmosis. Get to the gig on time. That's important. Be ready to play. Be ready to go. You know, be well dressed and be sober. Be ready. You know, I joined Charles Dearlin's band right when I got out of college. I was in his band for about 2.5 years. You know, we were all over the place, you know, performing. So that you learn a lot just from doing all those road gigs, you know, being ready, you know, just being ready to go, having a read ready to go. You just don't screw up. Don't have your saxophone not be ready to play, Don't have your pad fall out or your reed be broken or anything like that. And then, you know, after Charles Dearlin, I was playing with Freddie for several years, you know, just a lot of osmosis, about, you know, but playing all his music was, you know, was a blessing for me. You know, he wrote so much great music and, you know, I would study his music. I would study his improvisations on his music, you know, from his recordings, and, you know, how to negotiate the chord changes and things of that nature. You know, he was really incredible musician and person, and I miss him very much. You know, arguably the greatest trumpet player to ever play. I was very fortunate.
So, you know, I've always been convinced in my times, I love Chicago. When I go up there, I always feel like it's a smaller version. I mean, it's not a small town, but it's a smaller version of New York. So I'm curious, what kind of culture shock, what kind of adjustment did you go through when you finally did get to New York?
Well, I don't know how much of a culture shock, you know, I you know, since Chicago is similar to New York, like you said, I don't know if there was that much of a culture shock. There's certainly, you know, more musicians. It's just that's for sure. There's more great musicians. So, but that, you know, that was one of the reasons to go. And, you know, New York's a great city. Chicago's a great city. I think growing up in Chicago area and that it made me ready for New York as opposed to growing up somewhere else would have been much more of a culture shock, I would imagine. I had visited New York a few times, so I had known, you know, what it was all about, and you know, I was very happy to make the move and get to play with musicians like Jimmy Cobb and Killer Ray Appleton, Louis Hayes. It was great. You know, New York's great. I love it.
What was the first live jazz show you ever saw that made you think, man, I'd love to do that someday?
I think it was McCoy Tyner. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or no, you know what? I think it was Dizzy Gillespie. I saw Dizzy Gillespie back when I was, you know, maybe, oh, no, there's a few. So Stan Getz, when I was maybe 15. Oh, and Sonny Rollins. Oh, I think it might have been Sonny Rollins. I saw Sonny Rollins when I was around 15. It was so long ago. I can't remember the first, but I saw so many greats when I was young. I saw Sonny Rollins when it was Mayor Burns Jazz Fest, and my parents took me to see Sonny Rollins, you know, out at Navy Pier. And wow, what an experience, you know, to see him play out there on the pier. And you know, he kept playing. He just kept playing and playing, and he played three encores. And I'll never forget that.
Wow.
Yeah, he played this long, long show, and then he played a long, long encore, and nobody could get enough. Everybody was standing and going crazy, and you know, and then he played another long, long encore, and then people were going crazy again, and he played another one. He played three long encores. I mean, the show must have been altogether 3 hours long or something like that. I mean, he was just incredible, the stamina, and then just the musical ideas, and just on and on, and you couldn't stop him, man. He was just incredible. Yeah, so that
wow.
was definitely one of that might, I don't know if that was the first, but that was definitely, you know, the one of the ones where I was like, wow, you know, that's incredible. I would love to, if I could play a little bit of saxophone, you know, that must be amazing to be able to just play a fraction, an infinitesimal fraction of that would just be amazing, you know, to be able to do something like that. Unbelievable.
Just those names you mentioned, that's crazy. You know, you've been at this for a long time, and I'm curious, it's kind of a two-part question here. What do you like the best about being a professional musician, and what has been the key for you to be at this for as long as you have?
I would say to perform. I like to perform, and I like to play the instrument, and I like to play with a group to improvise and just you know, to explore music, and you know, play with a band and try to create, and hopefully people enjoy it, you know, play in front of an audience, and, you know, hope that they like it, and do the best I can, you know, keep growing, keep learning new things, and keep trying new things on the bandstand, and going back home and trying new things and working on the old things to get them better, and things of that nature. That's what I love, you know, the creative process. But you know, just keeping after it, and keep, you know, not being content. Keep playing every day, you know, keep practicing every day, and you know, keep getting out there and performing and recording. Never be sad. Never be satisfied. Keep working at it, and don't put the horn down. Keep blowing the horn.
Absolutely.
So pick it up every day. Yeah, you know, try not to take a day, you know, and of course, you know, every once in a while you might take a day off, but you know try not to take any days off, and pick it up every day, I would say.
Yeah. So if you have a dream tonight, and you run into the younger version of yourself, say around, you know, your early 20s, and you could give your younger version one piece of advice based on what you've learned throughout all these years, what would you say to your younger version?
Instead of practicing 1 hour, practice two. Instead of practicing 2 hours, practice three. Stay away from the cell phone. Stay away from the TV. Stay away from the movie.
That's right.
I would have to think about that.
You answered it. Yeah. No.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. I think that's a good answer. You know, one thing too is now that COVID's kind of eased up and live shows are happening, and more people are getting out and viewing live jazz, what do you hope we all realize about the power of live music as we get back to it more?
I would think that if you go out and listen to some live music, you're gonna love it all the more, because we've been deprived of it, and now we can. Now we have the opportunity to go back to the way things were and go hear live music. And I would think that, I mean, I certainly, with performing, You know, it's just it was so wonderful to be able to perform again. So I would imagine for someone that wants to, that for someone that pre-COVID would go the that used to go hear music, and then get deprived of it for the year and a half, the year or 2 years or what have you, and to be able to go see it again, then it's going to be very powerful and wonderful experience for them. So just go out and experience it and, you know, enjoy it. And I'm sure that they will. I'm sure they'll love it again. You know, they'll realize how important it is and how much that they missed it, I would imagine.
So everyone has a perception of you, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. You have a perception of you. Who do you think you are?
Okay. I think I'm just a regular guy that likes to play music. And like I said, I just try to do the best I can. I try to, you know, pick up the horn every day, try to write some new tunes, you know, try to keep writing, try to keep practicing, learn new things, and try to do the best I can when I perform and just, you know, do the best I can for the audience. I realize, going back to the last question, is, you know, especially now, with, like we were saying, that, you know, with people being deprived of live music, now it's more important than ever to come, you know, to be ready to play and to do your absolute best, not take it for granted. And so, yeah, so I try not to take music for granted. I'm very fortunate to be able to perform and play. I just, my perception, I guess, is, you know, keep improving and try to be the best I can be on the bandstand and off.
Right on. Todd, thank you for taking some time out today to talk about the new album, your life and music. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you giving me the interview, Joe. It was great.
Thanks for listening and tuning into another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Chicago, New York City, Kansas City, and spots all over the globe, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Todd for his cool story and time. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com, and for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.